His high-backed chair dwarfed her, made her look like a little child again in her father's eyes. The long mahogany table, built to take 30 or more, was empty except for the two of them. No candelabras glittered, no musicians played, no laughter or conversation passed across the table. The room was lit only by the chandelier overhead and the wall sconces. The silence was broken only by the occasional sound of fork or knife against plate, and the hollow boom of thunder outside from a distant rainstorm. Lucita had eaten practically nothing of her dinner. The servants brought course after course and then carried each dish back to the kitchen virtually untouched. His own appetite was failing him as well. He had little stomach for what he was about to do. He tried talking about the wedding, which was barely more than a month away. Still so much to do, so many details to arrange. Lucita replied politely, but clearly without interest. It is that devil Randolph, Hernandez told himself. She is brooding over him instead of looking forward to her wedding. For her own well-being, I must do what must be done. Finally, as dishes of flan set before them, Hernandez said, I fear I must invite Dan Randolph to the wedding. Her eyes flashed at him. After all, he is an important personage, her father went on. Not to invite him would be unpardonable. He will not come to my wedding, Lucita said. Hernandez touched a spoon to his custard. What makes you say that? She shook her head the way she did when she was a little girl. He will not come, I know it. I agree with you, Hernandez forced a grim smile. I am quite certain that he will not be able to accept the invitation.
Not be able to accept? Lucita asked.
The flan was delicious, cool and firm and sweet. Hernandez savored it as he studied the sudden interest in his daughter's eyes. There was pain in them, and fear, and much more. What do you mean he will not be able to accept the invitation? Lucita repeated. I have received information that Senor Randolph will be locked in a Soviet prison cell by the time of your wedding. Hernandez's smile was unforced now. He will be arrested very soon for piracy. For long moments, Lucita said nothing. She picked up her spoon and toyed with the custard dessert, slowly demolishing its quivering, gelled mass. Hernandez watched her, waiting.
Good, Lucita said at last. Then we've seen the last of him.
It was his turn to feel surprise.
You don't care that he will be arrested and hanged?
Care? Why should I care?
I thought you were fond of him.
I hate him, Lucita snapped, and he hates me.
Ah,
said Hernandez.
I see.
Lucita struggled to push her chair back and got to her feet.
Excuse me, please, Papa. I can't eat any more.
He nodded to her, and she left the dining room, walking as carefully as a woman who has had too much to drink and does not want to reveal how uncertain of herself she really feels. Hernandez sat at the head of the table, alone. It is for the best, he told himself. It had to be done. Lightning flashed outside, throwing the majestic old room into a sudden cold bluish light. Thunder cracked loud enough to rattle the dishes on the table. Rain suddenly lashed against the French windows. Hernandez stabbed his lips with the damask napkin, rose from his chair, and walked slowly out of the dining room through the hallway and into the small study that he used as an office. He did not turn on a light as he went straight to his desk, pulled up the swivel chair, and pecked out the number of the Soviet embassy on the lighted keyboard of his desktop phone. It took a few minutes for the embassy communication center to reach Vasily Malik. It was just after 3 a.m. in Moscow, but Malik's face looked bright-eyed and alert when it finally appeared on the phone screen.
The trap has been baited, Hernandez said without preliminaries.
It surprised him to realize how heavy his heart felt.
Good, said Malik. I am not sure that this will work, the Venezuelan said. Her infatuation with the American seems to be finished.
Malik shook his head.
I don't believe so. She will try to warn him. You're certain there's no way that she can learn you have set the trap for us?
Malik's lips curled slightly.
No, she will never know. Unless I deliberately tell her. You wouldn't do that.
Why should I?
That would be a grave disservice to my father-in-law, would it not?
To tell his daughter that he used her like bait on a fish hook. Hernandez groaned inwardly. Now the Russian had a permanent hold on him. He had made a fundamental error. Moloch was not the kind to forget about it either. They would pull their strings on him as tight as they wanted to, whenever they chose, from now on. "She won't be in any danger. You promised me that," he said. Moloch's smile broadened. "Of course not. She is to be my wife, the mother of my children. I will not endanger her in any way." "Good," Hernandez said. Automatically, he added, "Thank you. You have done well. Now we wait for the prey to enter the trap. Good night." The picture screen went blank. Hernandez stared at it for a long time. "Yes," he thought, "they will help me to become president of Venezuela. On their terms. Only on their terms." Nobuhiko Yamagata felt puzzled and flattered at the same time. He had been greatly attracted to the young Venezuelan woman who had accompanied Dan Randolph to his father's ski lodge in Sapporo. At first he had thought she was a servant or a paid companion. It had been during dinner that he'd realized she was merely a friend of Randolph's. Not even that, a casual acquaintance. She was very beautiful, very desirable, and very independent. It had overjoyed Nobo when Randolph had asked him to come to Caracas to work for him. But Nobo quickly learned that the relationships between men and women in the West were incredibly complicated. Lucita Hernandez became engaged to the chief of the Russian space program. But she had still been seen from time to time in Dan Randolph's company. And now, a scant month before her wedding, she had sent word to Nobo that she wanted to meet with him. Was it an honorable thing to do? Nobo wondered. Would he be causing trouble for Dan Randolph by meeting with her? Would his behavior reflect poorly on the Yamagata family, or cause repercussions between the Russians and Yamagata Industries? Just what did this beautiful but unpredictable woman have in mind? Nobo wrestled with his conscience for almost a full day after reading Lucita's message on the screen of his phone console. His conscience lost. He phoned her and made a date for lunch. "I am still a stranger in this land," he told himself cheerfully. "She knows much more about the customs here than I do. It would not be proper for me to refuse her invitation." Thus reassured, he borrowed an Astro Manufacturing car, a Geomota designed in Japan and built by Japanese robots in a Caracas factory, and drove to the restaurant in downtown Caracas where he would meet Lucita Hernandez. He took a table on the sidewalk and ordered a Kirin beer as he waited for her. In 5 minutes he checked his watch 7 times and examined the menu twice to make certain that he was at the right restaurant. It was a pleasant spot, shaded by the tall trees of Bolivar Square across the street. No automobile traffic was allowed around the square, although several big tourist buses were parked by the hotel up the street. Most of the people strolling past his table looked like vacationers to Nobo. They were clothed in shorts, splashy sport shirts, and casual dresses. An occasional businessman strode past, looking tense and wearing a suit with a tie. And then there were the mestizo women, mixed bloods who had the tall, leggy, exotic looks that made Nobo's heart beat fast. Then he noticed that there was life in the high, moss-covered trees of the square, not merely birds. Monkeys were squawking and swinging through the trees, racing around and around, burning energy as recklessly as a runaway rocket, just for the sheer exuberant fun of it. And as Nobo looked closer, he saw that the trees also were inhabited by other shapes. Hairy, dark sloths were hanging from the branches, barely moving, as the monkeys whipped past them. Nobo laughed aloud. In the time it took a sloth to unhook one clawed foot from a branch and move it a few inches, the pack of monkeys had sped around the whole square twice. The laughter died away as he thought how like America and Russia they are. The Americans rushed and raced and exhausted themselves, while the Russians plodded slowly and inexorably to world domination. The comparison somehow made him feel glum. As he reached for his half-empty glass of beer, Nobo saw Lucita walking up the street toward the restaurant. She wore a sleeveless frock of white and a dramatic broad-brimmed white straw hat. Sunglasses hid her eyes, but Nobo had no trouble identifying her. His hand bumped into the beer glass, nearly spilling it.